Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, welcome to Host Walls in Our Minds. I hope I'm live. Is anybody else there and can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Good deal. My headset was down. The battery must have been down far enough on it. It wouldn't let me talk, so I had to call in really quick on my cell. So hopefully that'll charge up and I'll be able to get that back on before my cell goes dead on me. Is this Wayne?
Yes, siree. And we've got Jack and Marty with me, so we're ready to roll.
All right. Wayne, would you please open us with a prayer? And I've had one of those crazy days. I think I'm a little bit under attack, so you can pray a little for me, too.
Okay, I think I'll do that. All right. All right. Heavenly King, King of Kings, the Almighty, that so few recognize anymore today, Father, those of us on this call do recognize you. We seek your face. We seek your truth. We seek your wisdom. And we stand in awe with our heads bowed and our hands raised in the awe of your majesty and power. Father, that all glory would be to you, we ask, 2 years ago. You told us it was going to get worse. And Father, you asked us to be patient while you refined us as silver and tried us as gold is tried in a furnace. Father, we thank you that you're doing this to us at a pace at which we can keep up, that we don't fall apart and fall down for good. We might stumble, but we're still there with you. We thank you, Father. Help us also at times, Father, that we might not run ahead of you, that we might not run off to the side one way or the other. We thank you for all these things in the name of your Son, Yeshua.
Did that. Last week we had a few technical difficulties. This is Terry Dodd, by the way. That was my good friend and special co-host tonight, Dwayne Moore. We've got Red Beckman online with us. Sounds like we've got an echo going here. That may be from my phone. Let me see if it is. Yes, it is. Dwayne, you heard what Jack and Margie said at the end of the show last week, and several of us were not able to hear that. And I'd like to turn it over to you, give them a good introduction again, and see if we can catch up on what we missed out on.
All right. Well, I was actually pretty impressed with the way Jack ended the call last time, and when the show was over, well, we thought the show was over. Jack and I were saying, "Wait," but folks, this is Jack and Margie Flynn, a longtime friends of mine. I've been putting them on some of my shows off and on here throughout the years. And I don't know a team any better in this country that knows the ins and outs of how the evils of this court system can be turned right side up. Jack and Margie seem to be the ones that have been doing a lot of great things in the area of righting the wrongs, along with the other greats like Red Beckman. And I think that Jack and Margie are up there in the top.
We weren't. We weren't on the call. And I don't quite remember what I said, but what I was trying to do was urge the American people to stop talking and take action, which is a universal theme with us. Because as we've said before, all the talk in the world is beneficial if one does not know about a subject and he's being illuminated about that subject by someone who has knowledge of that subject. But once the knowledge is imparted, the talk must stop. We can't keep reiterating the same thing over and over and over again. We have to take lawful, effective action to solve the problems. And I think last week I said that we could do that, not necessarily as an American society, because the American society, if we look at history, hasn't done much of anything except support what the government has done. I mean, if we look at the American society from the very beginning, okay, from the time that the Constitution was ratified up until the present day, the American society has supported everything this government has done without exception, okay? So if we personify the American society is basically, I hate to put it this way, but a blithering idiot that has no mind, no sensibilities, no intelligence, no common sense, and simply is a yes man to whatever government wants. And that is not good for those of us who believe in justice, who believe in freedom, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the ideal, in the dream that America could have been had it gone the right way. And I believe what I said is that we, in the general sense, on the local sense, can take effect if we have a problem in that town, meaning the people who live in Podunk have a problem, let's say with the police department, because the police department is totally out of control, as are police everywhere across this country. They're totally out of control. And one of the reasons they're totally out of control is because the people have allowed it. If the people did not allow that, if the people held the local politicians, the local mayor, the local city council, act against due process of law or against rights guaranteed to the citizens, then we could actually effectuate something that would be beneficial for the people of that town. Now, let's say Podunk has a population of 50,000 people. Well, if we could get 10% of that population, which is 5,000 people, which would actually be a total impossibility, because you can't get 5,000 people in any area to do much of anything except evil and support the government. But if we could get a large enough percentage of the people of that area, let's say 1,000 people or 500 people, to write presumptive letters to everyone in sight, starting with the police chief, starting with the officers on the ground who are causing the problems, going to the mayor, going to the city council, going to the city attorney, going to the attorney general and the DA of that county. If you challenge, they don't make any objections whatsoever. They simply accept the status quo as the government wants them to accept it. And, of course, when that happens, status quo remains intact and nothing ever changes. And this is round circle going back to the talk. If the American society does nothing, okay, the American government is going to do whatever it wants. If those people in the so-called patriot movement do nothing but talk, the American government is going to do exactly what it wants. If there are people within the patriot movement who are willing to take lawful action, and that's the only action Margie and I support, we support nothing that is not lawful, only lawful. If the people in any area, any given area, are willing to band together in harmony for common purpose to take lawful action against the excesses of government, of the police, of the county clerks, whatever it may be, of the, tax assessors in their areas, then we could make differences on local levels. We tried to start this many, many years ago. Unfortunately, there weren't enough loyal Americans or good Americans, let us say, to make any difference, except in certain areas, and those areas were few and far between. As far as good Americans are concerned, this country has good Americans and it has bad Americans, but unfortunately, the latter outweighs the former by absolute multitudes. Now, we define good Americans as Americans who have honor, who seek truth, who seek justice, who share brotherhood, who have compassion, and who are followers, absolute strict followers of the supreme law of the land, and who honor and respect the founding documents of this nation. Pretty good definition, because it embraces all of the founding documents and all of the founding positions. And if you ask yourself honestly and answer honestly yourselves, okay, how many good Americans you know within your circle of friends, families, associates, neighbors, workers, et cetera, I think you can quickly find out that you know practically zero good Americans. Zero. So if we take that example of one American citizen who searches his mind to find out how many good Americans he knows, and he comes out with an answer of zero, including himself, and we multiply that by 315 million Americans, then we have a good idea how many good Americans exist in this nation. And the answer is very, very few. If we have 5,000 elite New York City, we don't have opposition to our policies and programs. So the best way to control that opposition is to establish it. And that is an old, old story that governments have been doing for a long, long time. There are very, very few good patriot movements or groups or organizations in this country. I don't know of any. I don't know of one. I wish I did. I'd like to name one, but I don't know of one. I don't know of one group that I could call a good American group. I don't know of one. I know of individuals who have formed groups and individuals within groups who are good American citizens, good American, let's say, good American entities who really want to make changes in this nation. But as far as groups and organizations are concerned, I don't know of any. Now, I mentioned last week that we received a communique from one of these theoretical organizations that is theoretically a group that is supposed to protect the American people and advance the cause of freedom, and that's the John Birch Society. Now, I remember Robert Welsh quite well. I was young in Boston when Mr. Welsh founded that organization, and I had the good fortune to meet with him twice. He was a very sincere guy, a very honest guy, and really wanted to advance the cause of American freedom and expose the menace of communism. Well, Robert Welsh is no longer with us. He hasn't been with us for a long time. Right now, a fellow by the name of McManus, John McManus, is running that organization. And McManus, under pressure from some of his members who know us quite well, got in touch with us, told us he's interested in what we're doing, and would like some information and background on us so he could publish it for his membership, so his membership could actually use the methods we've used to win many cases and remove politicians from office and win lawsuits and major battles against major corporations. And we said, look, John, we know that you're not going to publish anything. Your organization is the shill organization, but just to humor you, we'll put something together and send it to you and dare you to publish it. Well, we did. And when we put it together, we had to do a little research, and we found out that we had actually, when I say we, it's the proverbial we, it's Margie and I and our groups in New Mexico, had won hundreds of cases in New Mexico courts, had removed over four dozen politicians and judges and police and corrupt politicians from office, errant politicians from office, and won major battles for the American people against large corporations. One of them was PNM, the most powerful utility company in New Mexico. We shut down one of their plants in New Mexico because it was endangering the health of people of an entire town. We shut that plant down, and we won other victories against B&M. We shut down another plant owned by a corporation called Medite, which is an international corporation, and that corporation was polluting the same town. So in the same town, we shut down two plants owned by two different corporations. Now, I'm a former businessman. I believe in business. I believe in the fact that business is good for people for many, many different reasons. But I don't believe in polluting business, and I don't believe in corrupt business. And both of these organizations were operating from that premise. We won many battles against Los Alamos National Laboratories, which is the den of iniquity, the den of evil. They manufacture nuclear weapons. They do all sorts of things in Los Alamos, New Mexico, that is not only not good for New Mexico, it's not good for America, it's not good for the world. We've won five victories against them. Our latest victory, in combination with our people in New Mexico, was to shut down a program at Los Alamos that was valued at over $6 billion, and Los Alamos had to lay off over 800 people. Now, this is the type of action I am talking about, okay? We and our people just don't talk about things. We do them. We take effective action to stop wrongs where we find them, if we can, and if that is within our power. So this is what I'm saying to the people. Let's not talk, folks, okay? Talk is only good for information. Let's take action. And if the American people are really serious, I invite those on this call to take a look at our methods, take a look at our website, which is citizensoftheamericanconstitution.net. It used to be org. That site was sabotaged. The new site is citizensoftheamericanconstitution.net. Take a look at our programs. Take a look at what we collectively have done to help the American citizens, to help America, and to lead the way back to freedom. But Margie and I and the few people with us cannot do this alone. We need a large movement, and we need people who are really interested in America to jump into that movement on a local level. And if you're willing to do that, we will do whatever we can to help you. And Margie might have a few words.
I always have a few words. Jack should know that by now. Good evening, everybody. I hope you're all having a good night, and I don't want to put you to sleep with a lot of high-minded talk, even though it's coming from a good place. What I'd like to do is call attention to the fact that probably everybody on this call has the same concerns and, I would say, desires and drives that Jack and I have, which are basically to take our country back and to restore constitutional governance and justice to these United States of America. That's a huge task, given the fact that we have a very large country with a lot of states and a lot of disparate interests and a lot of very pernicious forms of government currently controlling everyone's life virtually every moment of the day. That said, we also have another controlling factor that those of us who believe in a supreme being and in the Father in heaven, whatever terminology you choose to use, we recognize that there is a higher law and a higher order of being. And it is that aspect of us that I believe is probably the greatest hope that we have for the restoration of justice on this planet and the recognition of the power of truth and of love and compassion. Now, we have mortal enemies at every turn. Most people that are involved in any semblance of a so-called movement recognize that they have opposition at virtually every turn. And I heard Jack reference the Vladimir Lenin quote earlier in his talk. And I have to agree with the brilliance of that strategy, because look at all of the organizations that are popping up all over the place. It's gotten to the point where one doesn't know who's coming, who's going. And it seems to me that no matter how many organizations come up, how many leaders show up, how many speeches they give, demonstrations they make, how many conventions they hold, what have you, nothing changes. So that tells me something loudly and clearly, that the large-scale opposition, the opposition that grows rapidly, that seems to almost appear overnight but somehow managed to have funding, et cetera, is not truly opposition to the draconian policies that are being implemented by those in power. It tells me that these groups and organizations and associations are, in fact, just extensions of the draconian organization that's running the show, and that they are, unfortunately, distracting and misleading people who would be patriots if they had the knowledge and understanding that they are being drawn away from the real cause, that they are being taken down a path that really leads nowhere. It's circular. Now, for a long time, both Jack and I have been advocates of the Constitution. As we've said many times, we believe that the Constitution and the United States of America, even though they were done, I would say, in some underhanded ways, because there were multiple agendas being advanced, there was a divine element in the crafting of the Constitution and the creating of this nation. And that element was the fact that the people would be self-governing. As I said last time, I tell folks all the time when they ask us what can they do, that the first thing they have to realize is that self-governance is not a spectator sport. It requires your active and conscious participation. It requires the desire to do what's not only right for you, but what is right and best for your fellow citizens. And I see a singular problem that appears to be rampant throughout many folks' movements, and they call themselves patriots, but I don't want to use that word because their agenda does not fit what I call a patriotic agenda. Many people in activism today, if you want to call it that, are more interested in their selves, their own interest, resolving an immediate problem, or perhaps suing somebody and making a ton of money, or getting rid of their debts without having any conscience about whether or not they should make some kind of restitution. Those are the kind of people that are a disservice to the ideal of a patriotic movement because they don't understand what's at stake here. We are about to lose our country, folks. We are right on the precipice of failure for the United States of America. And I think all realize... Yes?
Yes. I wanted to ask a question pertaining to just that. I wanted to allow you and Jack, or Jack, either one, to respond. And then I'd like for Red to come in because Red's been, you know, got his own his crystal ball. And he thinks, you know, he's told us what he thinks is going to happen. I'd like to hear really what you guys think is going to happen here. Is this government going to survive or is it going to implode? You know, just like one of the comments in the chat room right now, it says, because the cesspool and the Potomac is so beyond repair that the only way to really restore anything back to the way it should be as a confederated republic is secession is the only way that they know of. But what's going to happen? Can this government manage to continue the way it is, or is it going to just self-destruct?
As long as the people continue to do nothing, the government will continue to limp along, and it will do exactly what it's been doing for a long time, which is essentially incrementally eroding the rights that are supposedly guaranteed to the people. It will continue to steal from us. It will continue to do the bidding of the corporations and the bankers, because that's basically what government's been for a long time. It has become the enforcer for the powers that be. The only way that's going to change, Terry, is if people recognize that they have to stand up as a collective, as a group, and no longer stand for this. We've been trying to tell people this for a long, long time, and they don't want to hear it because it requires work, it requires involvement. And you know that they have the capacity in government to pull strings anytime they want. They can rig anything they want. Market collapses, the so-called real estate bubble, problems with Wall Street, collapse of the dollar, food shortages, natural disasters, weather problems, chemtrails, you name it. They have many, many tools in their arsenal, and sadly, they have absolutely no conscience about using them. They will do whatever they want to do, and they haven't brooked any opposition because there has not been any solid collective attempt by the people of this country to say, heck no, you're not going to do that to us. Instead, the people who know what's going on and who really do care have been so busy competing with one another and infighting and who's got the best ways or whatever that they have lost sight of the goal. And the goal is to take America back from the grip of these tyrants who have underhandedly undermined every bright promise that America ever was. And that's not going to change unless the people change. And unfortunately, Americans are lazy, they're ignorant, they're self-centered, they do stupid things, they are interested in the banal and superficial to the nth degree, and they really don't seem to care about what is right or wrong anymore. We've lost our moral compass. You know, I mentioned last week that Benjamin Franklin said that only a virtuous people can maintain and achieve freedom. Well, it's true. You have to be virtuous in order to care about what happens to your brother or sister or your fellow citizens. We've lost our virtuous nature. Maybe in some respects we never really had one. Maybe we just pretended to it. But the bottom line is, unless we find our moral compass and our ethical center, unless we begin to show some kind of courage and stand up as a collective people, nothing will change. And all the talk about what's going on and some kind of inner coup and what have you, and believe me, we get emails from people all over the place all the time talking about Ben Fulford and David Wilcox and this new so-called insider Drake and there's some other insider, blah, blah, blah. Folks, let's be realistic here. If you were going to try to perpetrate a coup, which is what this would be, no matter what else you want to call it, would you breathe one word of it to anybody, let alone let it go across the Internet? It's just completely and totally illogical. That's not how these things work. So for them to be seeding this kind of thought is just, again, throwing, you know, distraction to the people and or giving them some kind of safe and warm and fuzzy feeling so that when things start hitting the fan, they'll think, oh, that's just because they're arresting all the bankers and all the bad bureaucrats and politicians. Not going to happen, folks. We have to stop looking to some kind of, you know, outside influence that's going to come in and rescue us. We need to be our own rescue team. And I'm not sure if the American people have the stomach for it, Terry. I'm really not. And I think Jack wants to say a couple things.
Go ahead,
Jack,
Terry.
Let me come back to the question, unless you're going to respond to the crystal ball question about what do you think is going to happen with this government. But I don't believe it can sustain, and that's the reason I wanted Red to be able to get a comment in. But I'll let you address that one first, and then I want to come back to something else that you and Margie have just talked about and go back into it. But I'd like to get Red in if possible.
All right, let me just say a few minutes, and then we'll give the mic to Red and your comments. I echo everything that Margie said. We have to realize that the American people are the responsible collectively. The American people are collectively the responsible party. But the American people collectively have not been responsible. And that took place in the very beginning in 1787. Okay? Took place actually before that during the Revolution. But if we measure from the time that we became a nation, since 1787, the American people have not been responsible. They have supported everything, and I underline everything this government has done. And this government is the most vile, evil government that has ever existed on the face of the earth. And I'm not just talking Obama. I'm talking under Kennedy, under Truman, under Roosevelt, under all of them, okay? Right back to the very beginning. George Washington. He was not only the first president, and there's questions about that, he was the first traitor, okay? If you really understand who and what George Washington was, no one would ever respect him. You wouldn't, no one would. And we've had nothing but secessions or successions of traitors in that White House ever since Washington, with the exception of a few. The Adamses happened to be a few, John and his son, Jefferson, and maybe one or two more are marginal. But the rest of them were traitors to the American people and traitors to the American Constitution, and the people supported it. Now, when Red was on last week or a few weeks ago when this took place, he was talking about the Magna Carta. He was talking about the revolutions in England when the people had to actually use force against the monarchy to obtain their rights. And he cited over a period of hundreds of years how many revolutions took place against the evil monarchy by the courageous citizens of England. We haven't had one revolution in this country since 1787. The American people have been asleep. We don't advocate a violent revolution, but we do advocate constitutional revolution by restoring the Constitution and making certain that all of these fools who theoretically represent us abide by the Constitution. The American people don't do that. They actually vote. I mean, what fool votes in this nation? I mean, come on. The people who voted for Obama actually believed this guy was a saint and he was going to do something wonderful. Well, here's your wonderful, folks. We live in the state of Maine. The fellow ran for governor in the state of Maine. We gave him a couple of programs that helped him become governor. I think I mentioned that a few weeks ago. And then he abandoned those programs as soon as he became governor, okay, which is typical. And he was running on the platform that the Constitution would be the yardstick for his administration. This man is as unconstitutional as Obama is. They are all frauds. I don't care who they are, with the possible exception of one man, and that's Ron Paul. And I even have my questions on Ron Paul. A guy isn't there that long, okay, without making deals. Now, people may disagree with that, but history will prove that point. So I agree this government is going to continue. It's going to get worse. It is not going to get worse by staging some major crisis, which is a possibility. It could happen, okay? I don't see that. I don't feel that. And the reason I don't is because the American government is getting everything it wants from the American people. The only thing the American people do in certain areas is complain, but they do nothing about the complaint. I'm not interested in complaints. I'm interested in actions that will change. Now, please bring in Red or go to those other subject matters you'd like to bring up, Terry.
Red, you're on. What do you think's going to happen? Red, you may be muted.
Is that better?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
We can hear you, Red.
Good evening. Good evening to you all. I have a problem with a cough at times, and so I've been muting most of the time and just listening in. I'm convinced that the federal government, as we know it, is going to self-destruct. I don't think there's any question about it. The USSR, when the Bolsheviks took over in 1917, in Russia they said there is no God. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn told us that 60 to 65 million Russian people died in the gulags and such, and most of them were Christian. And, excuse me. Anyway, about 25 years ago, I forgot exactly when it was that I did this, but I went to the county courthouse back there in Montana, and I had access to the law library, and I looked up the Supreme Court decision. And I've said this over and over on this program, but I will say it again. I read the entire decision when they took the Bible out of the classroom in 1963. And there was a lot of verbiage, and I read it all, every word of it. And when I condensed it down in my own mind, I said basically what they said was, thou shalt have no other gods before the federal God. Today, you can put the picture of a pervert like Bill Clinton on the wall in the classroom, and you can't put the Ten Commandments up there on the wall. And so the federal God, I call it the federal God, a small g God, is going to go, and because our Heavenly Father, the capital G God of the universe, is going to, well, the second commandment tells us that he is a jealous God. And he brought down the USSR, as we all know, in 1991, December of 1991, and the Russian people went to bed one night and had no inclination, no pre-warning, no pre-notice that the government was going to be dissolved overnight. And they woke up in the morning, and that was the first news that they heard, was that the government had been dissolved. Now, the same kind of people that were in control of the USSR are the same kind of people that are in control of the government that we have here in the United States of America. I would almost guarantee you that some of the same people that were involved in Russia are right here pulling the strings and doing things here in this country that are just they're just so evil. And it's going to bring this government down. There's no way that they can get out of the muck and the hole that they're in. They're going to go down. And the American people, it takes an awful lot to get the American people mad. But when they get mad, you better watch out, because they're going to make things happen, I can assure you. And there will probably be some bloodshed. I hope not, but I got a hunch that there will be. In Russia, I had a friend that was there right shortly after the government was dissolved, and he was just absolutely amazed at how well they handled it over there. We don't have the resources in this country that would save us from having some chaos, and that is because the people over there had learned to become very resourceful. They had been putting up with shortages and such for many years, and they survived because they were taking care of themselves and had learned how to take care of themselves. We have a large portion of a large percentage of our population that don't know how to take care of themselves. They've never been taught. They've never had to take care of themselves. And these people are going to be dangerous. They're going to be, they're going to be dangerous. I don't know how else to put it. And so back in the 70s, there were a lot of us. In fact, there was more people in Montana at that point in time that seen the dark clouds on the political horizon, and they were making plans. A lot of them were saying, "Well, I'm gonna have me a cabin up in the mountains, and I'm gonna put some food and food supply and whatnot in there." And And I told him I thought about that, and I thought, no, no. Then I told him, I said, you don't do that. Because if you got to go up there to cabin in the hills and leave it to these outlaws, these people that are dependent on a government that is no longer in existence, you just well figure to spend the rest of your life up there in that cabin, because there's not going to be anything left of the city when you get back. This thing happens, you better have a local militia organization where you put some of your deer hunters up on the major buildings downtown, and the first time they see a looter trying to loot the store on the street below, why they eliminate them. And I said, you've got to stay right here, and you've got to maintain the order. I still hold that that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to try to have enough people with the backbone and the understanding so that they can stand in the gap, you might say, and keep this thing from boiling over into a total absolute chaos. We have too many weapons in this country to let that happen. We've got the biggest army in the world right now with all the deer hunters and elk hunters, and of course I think it's a great thing, and it's one of the things that's probably going to help us maintain somewhat of some order in this country and go through some kind of an orderly operation where we, you know, change the system and go back. And of course, what I had intended to speak about tonight was how that what we really need in this country is a national repentance. Because if we don't have some national repentance, we're not going to have the help and the direction that we need coming from our Creator. And I think that, I tell people that we're not going to solve the political problems in this country at the ballot box. Now, I've known Ron Paul since about 1980. And I have the utmost respect for Ron. We've been on the same platform many times, and I think for the most part he is pretty well has his plan, his knowledge of what's going on after all the years he's had in the Congress. He knows how the Congress operates, and he knows what's the problems are and what has to be done. And so he does have his age again him, but I got him beat by a few years too. So it's a sure thing that I'm not going to be in a position to take any kind of a leadership position. I might give some advice, but the advice that I give may not be the right advice, because I come from the old school, and I just I dread to think about how my grandchildren and my great grandchildren are going to, how are they going to survive? How are they going to come through this turmoil that we have coming? And we have to remember that in our Bibles, in Matthew 24:25. Christ, the apostles are asking Christ, what is coming? What's the future hold? And Christ told him, he said, it's going to be the worst time that anybody has ever seen on this planet. It's going to be the worst. And Matthew 24:22, he says, if God doesn't shorten the day, there would be no flesh saved. And so, I'm not going to try to second guess the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is watch and pray, and I'm going to watch what happens, and hopefully I can help my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren find their way through this thing. And so, repentance is something that the children of Israel, they would go astray, and God would let them become, they'd be captured or conquered by a neighboring country, and they would be in bondage. And then finally they would wake up and say, well, we've quit serving the true God. We're serving Baal. We better get rid of the Baal and go back and serve the true God. And when we did that, back then, it always worked, and God was able to give them their freedom, help bring back their freedom. Of course, I love the story of Gideon and what happened in with the Midianite army with just 300 people. We don't need a big mass of people, but we do need the power of an almighty God to direct us and give us the support and the strength to do what needs to be done. And so that's all I'll say for the time being. I am so disappointed with organized religion. Organized religion is one of our great enemies. Of course, I agree with Jack. I have calls from people, and they say, "Oh, Obama, he is so bad," and congressmen and senators, and I say, "Don't go pointing the finger at them. Just point their finger at we the people out here, because we're the ones that have failed. It wasn't them that failed the Constitution. It was we the people that failed the Constitution. The Constitution didn't fail us. It was we the people that failed the Constitution and failed to uphold it and failed to enforce it. And so that's what I've been talking about for 35 years, how that the jury and the grand juries are supposed to be our part of government. And this is where we were to keep government honest and all, and we have not done that. We've let the deceivers, the public schools that say, oh, we got to have Horace Mann came over here from Europe about 1837, and he said, we've got to have public schools over here, government schools. And it only took him about 13 years, and we had government schools. And it's been downhill ever since, of course. And so I'll be silent here for a while. I'll mute my phone again.
Well, Red, I will say that your buddy from California put in the blog. He says, "Do you always have to be so dead right, Red?" Jack, before I launch into those other questions, do you want to respond to Red's crystal ball?
I think Red has some good opinions, and he's right on, as he has been for many years. But I would disagree in a couple of instances here. First of all, what he mentioned is predicated upon intervention by God. I would love to see that happen. Margie and I would love to see the Heavenly Father intervene. We've been praying for that pretty much for 60 years, or pretty close to it, because we knew a long time ago, as I'm sure Red did and many other people, that the American people are not going to dig themselves out of the mess they created for themselves. We just don't have it in us. We're not an honorable nation. There's very, very little honor in America. There's very little honor in American society. I mean, that's evident. All we have to do is open our eyes and see it. So my observation would be that God is not going to protect a non-virtuous nation. if America is the most evil nation that's ever existed on the face of the earth, and that is my full opinion, candid opinion, and I would verify that against anyone, much more evil than Russia, much more evil than Nazi Germany, much more evil than Communist China, very evil, led by devious, evil beings who may not even be human. They may be human in form, but they're certainly not human in substance. They are more demonic. Yet the American people have supported those demonic forces forever. So if I could look at it as God would, and I never can because there's no comparison there, but just in my opinion, God would not protect a non-virtuous people who honor demonic forces leading a nation. I don't see God intervening. I don't see that at all. I see destruction of this nation eventually, not right away, but eventually, maybe in 100 years, but not overnight. And I do not see the American government failing because the American people have always supported the American government and will continue to do so. So if God doesn't intervene, the American government will continue, and it will continue to get worse. Now, I would love to think of armies of people out there who are going to rise up if the government gets too repressive. I haven't seen it. What about Waco? We talked about Waco before. The American people did nothing. What about Oklahoma City? The American people did nothing. The fellow up in Idaho, okay? Randy Weaver, the American people did nothing. The American people do nothing when the cops taser and beat people to death on the street. The American people do absolutely nothing. The American
Edgar
people
Steele.
Have, yes. The American people
Edgar
have no
Steele,
courage.
Edgar Steele, Kent Hovind, Ezra Pound,
yeah.
Von Nothaus. I can go on for a long time. On I mean, there's so many political prisoners out there and have been that it's just shocking.
Yes. And if you go to Steele, his wife never made a complaint. The government made a complaint for the wife and then enforced it. And
she testified on his behalf at the trial.
That's correct. And the American, and I repeat, I hate to keep saying this, but the American people do absolutely nothing because the American people, as a people, support evil, support demonic forces. Now, the average guy is going to say, I don't support demonic forces. If you support the government, you support demonic forces. That's the bottom line. And I don't think God is ever going to intervene on the part of a nation that supports demons above the true God. I don't see that happening. So I see the American government continuing, and I do not see the American people rising up. You know, I'll go with a gambler's odds. I'll go with long history, okay? The American people have never stood up against the government. If you take, those of you who do not know this, please research it. Go to the Bonus Army, 1932, Washington, D.C. World War I veterans who were promised bonuses by the Congress, and then Congress reneged or kept extending the bonus payment date. And in 1932, as you recall, we were in the midst of a heinous depression, horrible, horrible depression, caused by our government, okay? It wasn't some freak of nature. It was a planned position caused by the government, just as our current depression is the same thing. Well, there was an army that gathered in Washington, D.C., on the outskirts of Washington, D.C. All veterans, World War I veterans, met them with their families and their children, okay? The president at that time was not Roosevelt. It was still, what's his name? God, it just slipped my mind. Hoover, Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover was still president. Hoover called out three military people to crush the rebellion. He called out Eisenhower. He called out the immense homosexual Douglas MacArthur. And he called out Blood and Guts Patton, who was known for everyone else's blood and guts in his decisions. And he had those people go to Washington, D.C., bring in American troops, and the American troops killed the World War I veterans and burned out their families, killed their wives and their children. And guess what the American people did? Not a damn thing. The same thing happened under Washington, okay, when a bonus army gathered. Washington attacked them with the American army and killed them, okay? This is how the American military treats the American people, and the American people don't do a damn thing. So I'll go with the long odds that those deer hunters and those elk hunters that I would love to see show up will cower like pansies they are and drop their guns. And I can tell you this, if they go to Red's house, he's not going to drop his gun. If they come here, we're not going to drop our gun. I wonder how many people will join us. That's my comment for now.
Well, that was a pretty heavy comment. And, Red, you want to make a comment back to that? You might need to unmute yourself again.
Not at the moment. I think that, you know, God, he can make things happen even when they look real bad. They look pretty bad for Gideon, of course, and he only had 300 men, and that's all he needed because God was very much involved in defeating that very large, over 100,000 Midianites, put them in a panic. And so I think we're headed for a food shortage. In Russia, here in the last 4 or 5 years, they had a drought over there. And the Russian government, they just stopped all exports of grain. Now, I think we're headed, for a season of perhaps the most serious drought that we've ever had in this country. And I hope not, but I have a feeling that this is we're due for it. We have all these grain, where they load these ships going overseas into different countries. We've got four of them right here within 5 miles of where I am right now. We're still shipping our grain out of this country by the boatload, and the unit trains coming in with over 100-ton cars. I think the one loading facility here, they get two unit trains a day. And this is all going overseas. We're shipping our basic food supplies to other countries. And I worry about it. I shouldn't say I worry. I'm concerned. But my concern is not, I'm not concerned. I agree with Jack that we have these demonic forces. There's no question in my mind that we have these demonic forces that are very, very much involved. And that's one reason why I'm so disappointed and disgusted with the churches, because we've got all these denominations, and of course I've said it many times, denominational religion. It came right out of hell, and because denominational religion has created so much chaos and confusion in the religion with Christianity and such, and it's what Lenin was talking about. They helped create the problem, and that's their way of defeating and gaining power. And so anyway, when have we really heard someone in a church talk about these demonic forces that are in control of our government and such? You don't hear it. And it's a concern for me because I grew up in church and I've been away from it now, of course, organized religion for about 40 years.
Red, not only that, not only are they not talking about it that way, the greatest defenders of those demonic forces today have been brain soiled, and they are the very people in those churches that are defending. It is just, I'm running into it, and so is Dr. Kate. You know, Kate's been sitting here making a few comments in the chat, in our back room chat, and I really believe that we're missing the real vision here of what victory could look like and what kind of action. You know, Jack and Margie are talking about you got to take action, you got to take action, and then the next statement is, well, you know, people aren't going to take action and the government's going to continue to be able to rule over people. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, so far they've been able to take advantage of every crisis, and they know that crisis is coming before anybody else does. So they postured themselves and are quite ready for the solutions, and also quite ready to take advantage of the great buys that you can get in the middle of that. And then they use the money that they make off of stealing it from the people because of their advanced knowledge. Then they take control in some new picture of things where people think it's a new deal and it's not. Well, in my mind, we're fighting for the wrong victory. We need to be able to really focus on your point, Red, of getting God back at the top of the pecking order, and we may not be able to do that nationally, but we can do it person by person and family by family and community by community, and maybe get to a state level. But at least we've got a group of people who, you know, are not so brain soiled. If we can start that ripple effect out from each individual, you know, we look back at the Revolutionary War and people think that it was all about the unfair taxes or taxation without representation. But the fact of the matter is that most of those people came here to escape religious persecution. They came here for religious freedom. And right now, a major problem that we've got is that our religious freedom has been stolen from us and is being really a police state coming down on us through the courts. And it's a tough situation that we're in right now religiously, and it's going to get worse if we don't put God back at the top of that pecking order. And I believe that that's the only way we're going to find any successes or victories. You know, just like Kate just said, do we call for a national repentance? Well, how many times has that been called for? And right now, they don't even know what it means. They don't know. They don't understand what it means. I'll tell you, if you want to empty a church, go start preaching about repentance and reconciliation. Go start preaching those items. You will empty the pews.
Put up my mind.
Dwayne?
Yep.
Dwayne, did you just make a comment? I thought I heard you say I was reading your mind. Is that what you said?
No, I said that's what happened to mine. They've been dropping like flies for years. The deeper I get in repentance, the more they run.
Can I put in 2 cents worth again?
This
is Red again. I'm totally baffled at times. I wrote that first book, Born Again Republic, and it came out in the fall of 1980, 32 years ago. My first printing was, I didn't know nothing about book printing, and I ordered 10,000 copies, and people laughed at me, and they said he'll have 10,000 copies of his books in his garage forever. Within 30 days, we had to order a second printing. And we have sold books over the years by the truckload, and I'm not talking about pickup loads, truckloads. I'm talking about bigger stuff. And those books are out there. And I think they're, some people comment on them, and they, they tell me they're right on. But I'm terribly, terribly disappointed because all those books are out there, and where are the people that bought them? Where are they? They should have been reading them two or three times a year after that, after they got the books. And, I remember just one situation in particular. We got a letter from a fellow. We were still in Montana then, but I had been out here in Oregon and Washington for a series of meetings and such. And a fellow wrote, and he said, I was an IRS agent. And he said, somebody gave me a copy of your book, Born Again Republic. He says, today, he said, my wife was an IRS agent too. He says, today we, neither one of us are with the IRS. We both left the IRS. We are now both of us born again Christians. That is the only case that I know of where we had that kind of an effect. I know there were some, but they didn't write. They didn't give me a boost in my energy and such. I didn't get it, and so those books are going to become a testimony against the people who did nothing. Okay. Those books told people about how to use their three votes in our system, the grand jury and the jury. And sure, we're getting some jury wins across the country. Our last newsletter from Fiji, of course, had some interesting things, but nothing like we should have. And it all comes back. You just can't avoid it. It comes back to we the people. We are the ones, and of course, people wonder where AIPAC get the power to control the United States government, especially the Congress in Washington, D.C. Well, that's not hard to figure that one out, because it's the churches in this country, 50 to 60 million evangelicals out there, and they all believe that AIPAC is a good outfit, and so they support AIPAC, and AIPAC sees to it that the right people get elected to Congress and such. And I know personally about some of that and how that worked. And so it just it amazes me. I wonder what it takes, what it's going to take. And I shouldn't wonder that much, because I think when they get hungry, they're going to start thinking.
Jack, Margie, any comment? And Dwayne, I also, when is Dave supposed to call in? I don't want to get past his time.
Oh, that's right. I just texted you about 10 minutes ago. He's on the line.
Okay. What area code?
603, I believe. That'd be Gus. And I'm sorry, but Dave, hold on, check. Alaska.
I believe you're live, Dave, but I want to give Jack and Margie a chance to make a closing comment on their end of things before we launch into your topic.
Sure, I'd like to make a comment. First of all, I wanted to say to Red that I agree with a lot of what he has said tonight. I do believe that there will be a food shortage, and it won't just be in this country. It's going to be worldwide because it's being engineered. It's being engineered by design, by the planners who are creating this scenario to bring about the so-called New World Order. There will be multiple reasons for it. Chemtrails, of course, play a big part in that, not only because of all the nonsense that they're putting into the soil, one of the worst being, of course, aluminum, but also because of the weather disruption that chemtrail and HAARP and other installations are causing all over the world, manipulating water with droughts or torrential rains. I think very few people in this country realize just how precipitous the food situation is right now. And Red's comment about, you know, they might start thinking when they get hungry is true. But I look at the big picture here, and I think to myself, how sad and tragic it is that people are going to have to get to the brink of despair and desperation before they start to think. I mean, we've really, you know, let our independent-mindedness slip away, those of us who had it, at least collectively. And what is awfully frightening to think about is, given the number of sheeple we have in this country, even when they're hungry, they're still going to be looking to Big Daddy government to fix the problem, because we have cultivated in this country, by and through design, an entitlement mentality, a dependency. And that dependency is far and wide. And it's not just the folks that are on welfare, the folks that are on disability, the folks that are on Social Security, whatever. It's not just that. Virtually everyone who holds some kind of a job and brings home the bacon, so to speak, is dependent on one level or another on some type of governmental program or bureaucracy or agency. So very few people are going to be willing to speak up against what they perceive to be their bread and butter. It's just human nature. They may want to, they may see there's something wrong, and just like the folks that Red mentioned who left the IRS because they became born-again Christians, and I take my hat off to them. Why isn't this happening in the hundreds of thousands? It's not happening because people are self-centered, and they're unwilling to make sacrifices to do the right thing. We don't have a virtuous population in this country. I wish we did. I wish the myth of America were true. It's not. So we've got to be realistic and say, what do we have and what can we count on amongst the people who do care, who do have virtue, who do honor the Father and do have courage and the conviction to do whatever it takes to protect their family, their homes, their neighbors, their towns, and ultimately their states. Because somebody mentioned secession a while back, and I do believe that that may happen in some instances. The trouble is, by the time people realize that that is necessary, they may not be the means to do that. And all the hunters and all of these sportsmen that you reference to, yeah, I know they're out there, but they're not a cohesive lot. And just like virtually every other aspect of the population, they are into their own stuff. They're doing their own thing. They do not really put two and two together and acknowledge just how desperate our straits are. So those are my concerns. I wish I could say a little happier note on that. I cannot. I hope and pray, as Red does, that our Heavenly Father does intervene. But, you know, since we're not a virtuous nation anymore, maybe we just blew our opportunities. That's all I want to say on that. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing such a wonderful voice of reason to walls in our minds. Really enjoy hearing you speak. Jack, you have some closing comments?
When I was a young man in college in Boston, one of my professors was a fellow named Kerensky, and maybe some of you remember him. He was the first president of Russia after the revolution, okay? And we got to know each other a little bit. He was an old man at that time. And, of course, I'm always interested in politics and how things come together. And he told me, well, he told quite a few of us, exactly what happened in Russia, which is exactly what I thought took place, okay? All of these forms, whether you're talking communism, fascism, socialism, corporatism, whatever it is strictly the rule of the few over the many. And basically, communism was a situation by which the few were capitalists and the many were communists. Kerensky actually tried to form a different type of country. He wanted to form a more democratic type nation. We're not a democracy. This is a republic. But he actually tried to form a democracy in Russia. Well, that's pretty hard to do. I mean, it's easier to teach pigs to fly to the moon. And, of course, he was not supported because he was of the white ilk, okay? And this country supported the red ilk, the Bolsheviks. So Kerensky and his crew were done under by our own government. Now, if our own government did that in Russia and our own government did that in China, if you go back a few weeks ago, I think Red was talking about, well, maybe I'm confusing my programs here, so if I'm incorrect about this, I'm sorry, but I thought it was Red, who spoke about the situation in China in which we dropped our support for Chiang Kai-shek, okay, who was not a great man, but at least he was on our side, okay, and gave our support to Chou Enlai and Mao Zedong. And actually gave Shaq, and I think it was Red who mentioned this, guns with firing pins that didn't fire and bullets that wouldn't work. So we sabotaged that whole situation in China for the sake of communism, as we did in Russia, as we've done in so many other places, Vietnam, Cuba, you name it. I mean, virtually every communist nation on the face of this earth was formed by the government of the United States of America. So we really have to understand that we are dealing with diabolical evil that rules this nation. And if the people do not want to support diabolical evil, turn to the Father, change your ways, and say no. Get out of the system. Do something else. You don't have to follow evil, because there's nothing else to do. Be creative. And that's all I have to say for tonight, and we'll look forward to these other folks speaking.
Yeah, I believe the same forces have dominated here that are dominating in those places, too. I don't think we're dealing with really different forces. I think it's the same forces. And Our, as Alfred Lawson called them, the alien financiers seem to have gotten their fingers into all of it. And who's behind them but Satan or Lucifer?
Well, I have a way to solve the economic problems of the world, like many people have had ways to solve many problems for many, many years. I think I told you we've done three different engines, all non-polluting engines, in the past, and the government killed every one of them, and some of my partners to boot. But I'm not alone. There are probably at least 10,000 other people out there who have come out with non-polluting engines that have been done away by this government. So this government is the enemy of the people. It represses that which will help the people and fosters that which will enslave the people. But the people jump right into that enslavement. It's unbelievable. Now, I came up with, and I'll just take a few minutes to talk about this. I came up with a program when I was at Boston University and Harvard back in the late 50s. And the program was to design a new society, all right, a utopian society. And within that utopian society, I came up with an alternative currency system for that particular society. And the currency of any particular nation, or the particular nation I wrote about in my utopia, my fictional utopia, was a nation that used a paper currency, not based in gold, not based in silver, for the simple reason that gold and silver are manipulated because they're owned principally by the same people that control and own the Fed, that control and own everything in the entire world. You're absolutely right. The evil control is not restricted to America. It exists in every nation on the face of the earth. We have an evil cartel that controls everything, not only here, everywhere. And you try to name one major thing that evil doesn't control, and I'll eat New York City, okay? It controls everything, and the people go along with the evil. This is why I'm so upset. I don't see any good future for America. I see the future that Fred spoke about. I see the destruction. But the destruction is not going to come because of internal chaos within this nation. It's going to come because this nation is going to be conquered. That's down the road. It's not going to take place now. I mean physically conquered and physically destroyed. But we're not going to see that in our lifetime. That's down the road as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, let me get back to this currency. We all know of the problems that are taking place with currencies all over the world. Well, who owns the currencies, for God's sakes? The same people all over the world, okay? What they're doing is dealing in throwaway economics, throwaway positions, so they can pretend that the system is so corrupt and so wicked that it needs a correction. And, of course, they, meaning the ones who control, come in with that correction, and we're back to square one under the same control. And the people have never figured this out. So in my currency, the currency is issued by a bank owned, operated, and controlled by the people of the nation. Okay? The currency is issued in paper, not supported in gold or silver because that can be manipulated. The currency is issued in paper by the bank in either loan form or grant form. The currency is based upon the productivity, the labor, the ingenuity, the resourcefulness, the creativity of the people, businesses, and industries of that nation. So the control of the currency and the value of the currency is based in and on the people, not upon manipulations by a private bank, which we've had since the very beginning of the first Washington administration in this country that never left. It was always here in one form or another. We have never had a free and open economy in this nation, never. It's always been controlled. Now, for people to allow their own currency to be controlled by evil makes no sense. So in my currency, the people control the currency. The currency is issued based upon the needs of the people, businesses, and industries of any state. Okay? The money that is loaned directly by the bank owned by the people. Okay? No interest. We charge zero interest. Large loans can be paid back over 50 years, such as a home mortgage loan over a 50-year period. No interest, okay? Interest is usurious. I don't care whether it's 0.1%. If it's 0.1% today, it can be 16% 2 months from now, okay? No interest. The grants The grants that are made by the bank are made to the people directly and directly to the governments in that nation. So if a government, such as the federal government, state government, county government, wants money to operate for the next year, which obviously it does, then that government must go by requisition to the bank owned by the people. And if the requisition meets the standards, then the money is granted to the government, not loaned, which is only sensible currency that ever should be used by a sane people. Problem is, there's very little sanity anywhere in human existence. Okay?
Well,
when the grant takes place, the government has all the money it needs. But the people are not bound to pay back the money that the government uses, because the money is loaned by the bank. I mean, not loaned by the bank to the government. It is granted. It's debt-free, which means the government doesn't need to charge taxes for anything. What you keep, you earn. Now, we've given this to Ron Paul, got nothing back from him. We've given this to other American politicians, got nothing back from them. Gave it to a few foreign nations. One of them is Iceland. Iceland has, since we gave it to them about 4 months ago, Iceland has instituted a few reforms that are somewhat reflective of our alternative currency, not in its true form. That alternative currency proposal has spurned about 60,000 different currencies worldwide, mostly
Jack,
based on barter. Yes, go right ahead.
There's a lot of things that you're saying that are good and accurate. I would like to see you look into the writings and the theories and the proposals of Dr. Edwin Vieira. There are some very good reasons why Dr. Vieira will blatantly tell you that he will have nothing to do with any monetary system that is based on a paper currency. The key, and you've touched on some of the keys already, but the key is who owns that currency. The currency necessarily has to have intrinsic value so that the people can, in fact, have the proprietary ownership of it. Now, it's true that the people would own the currency if it were, in fact, issued and controlled by the government that is ruled by or by the consent of its people. But
no, you're missing my point. The government has nothing to do with the issuance of the currency. Nothing. Zero. Government is out of it. Government goes to the people for their funds, okay? Meaning the government goes to the people's bank or the bank owned by the people for its operating funds. It's the only thing.
Okay, that's a huge hole in the road right there. The bank, no bank, it doesn't matter who owns the bank. It absolutely does not matter who owns the bank. There will be manipulation if a bank is allowed to create the currency, even if the people own it. A state bank is not an answer. The answer is proprietary ownership of the currency by the people. That is the key, and the only way that you can have that is if there's intrinsic value in that currency. That's why the Constitution says what it says.
How do you create the intrinsic value? How do you create that?
I'm not hearing your question clear. How do you what?
I say, how do you create the intrinsic value in the currency so that the people have intrinsic value?
Because what you do is that you start collecting taxes, a portion of your taxes, in that intrinsic value. And you have the state, each state.
Terry, stop. That's insanity. That's insanity, okay? I don't believe in taxes.
It's really not.
A free man
does
not pay a tax in a free country. Anyone who proposes taxes is an idiot and a fool, and I'll have nothing to do with him, okay? Nothing. Look, Maggie and I are straight from the shoulder. We always have been. What we say is offensive to people. I don't care. It's the truth, okay? We speak the truth. We're bound by the truth. We're bound by the Creator to speak the truth. The only sane currency that ever should be used is a currency owned and controlled and operated by the people. Yes, I agree with you that since people are disreputable and have no honor, of course people in the bank owned by the people are going to try to subvert and do whatever they can. But there's another program here. I call it the Constitutional Affidavit. everyone who works for that bank works for the people. Everyone in that bank must sign a constitutional affidavit before he's hired to work at any position in that bank. That constitutional affidavit says, I have taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the state of so-and-so. I abide by that oath. I will never violate that oath. I will never oppose the Constitution, due process of law, or rights guaranteed therein, and I will never, ever defy the rights of the people by corruption in this office. And if I do, you can remove me and put me in jail for 10 years. Okay?
Jack, fiat currency, fiat currency always approaches its intrinsic value.
This is not a fiat currency.
That is a fact.
A fiat currency
That's
is owned and operated by a government. Okay? Fiat currency is owned and operated by a government, mandated by the government and imposed upon the people. No, this is a people's currency. Okay? Now, what I started to say before, it looks like Iceland may have accepted this currency, at least in part. You check out Iceland and check out what they're doing, okay? And you'll see
you
that something new has
Dr.
happened
Vieira's,
over there and something revolutionary has happened.
What you need to check out is Dr. Vieira's competitive system of currency that's been proposed.
I have no interest in looking at it. None, none, zero. If he's talking taxes and gold and silver, I have no interest in looking at that, my friend.
He's not talking about income taxes. He's not talking about income taxes. There's different kinds of taxes, and some taxes have always been there. And
in my system, there are zero taxes because a free man pays no tax in a free country, and that's what I'm trying to create, a free country. You're not free if you pay the tax man. Okay?
Red,
I've taken
Red,
enough time. Why don't we
some
move
wisdom?
On to
Red,
some
could
of
you
your
contribute,
other guests.
Contribute some wisdom to this, please?
I'm sorry?
I asked Red for a comment.
Okay. Okay.
Red, you may be muted. Red, are you still with us? Okay. Well, at any rate, Dwayne is, I believe, Dave is online, and we need to get him in here. I really appreciate Jack and Margie coming back on tonight and contributing some of their wisdom, because it's been tremendous having you on the show, and we certainly respect
Thank
the work
you so
that you're
much.
Doing. And, you're welcome. Dwayne, would you like to introduce Dave?
Oh, yeah, sure. And Jack and Margie, thank you very much. You're welcome to stick around and talk to Dave. That's what we're hoping to do, actually. So about the foreclosure issues. But,
we've got about 20 minutes left, Dwayne.
Okay, yes. And so, Dave, I hope you're still there. We were just texting. I hope you're still there. And he's got a 907 number, by the way. But this is my buddy Dave Bartels. He's been helping quite a few people around the country with understanding the common law versus the de facto law situation in our nation. Phenomenal mind. He's got a book that is about to release. It's about as thick as a Pittsburgh phone book here, and it's all about the court siding. It's a very big help, and I've had a copy of it here, and a lot of people are looking for it. Dave Bartels, say hello.
Hey, hello there. How's everybody doing? It was kind of a depressing discussion, but real.
Yeah.
I just say keep the faith. You know, what can you do? The unrighteousness of the wicked will be destroyed because they refuse to do justice. We just got to start getting a global indictment going. But anyway, yeah, I just basically try to explain to people as simply as I can the problem we're faced with and the remedy. And you know, so if they were to go into court, or whether they got a complaint against them, or they're a juror or something, you know, maybe they can turn it into something positive instead of negative. And I just simply, what I usually do up here is I'll get a group of people together and bring them on the Alaska Court System homepage, because I found over the years, you know, the people that want to believe, they're all ears, and the people that don't know anything or don't, you know, aren't paying attention, then it's just like, well, I don't know if this guy knows what he's talking about. And so what I notice when I bring them on the Court System homepage and pull up court cases coming right from the Supreme Court of Alaska, their whole personality changes. It's just like the brain kind of tweaks out and says, well, this must be true. It's coming right from them. And it just seems to make a huge difference. And I just, one of the court cases I started out by citing was by our Chief Justice up here. And he said, it is, of course, a mere platitude to say that the people are the supreme power in our system of government. And the history of our Constitution and its adoption shows beyond the possibility of contradiction that the people themselves deliberately and intentionally announced that by its adoption, they meant to exercise their supreme sovereign power. And I just tell them, you know, what's higher and supreme? Nothing. I said, we got the highest status on the planet. We got the same status as king, queen, czars, and emperors. That's what they are, is sovereigns and the supreme power. And I said, about that, the way it works is the whole purpose is you're not subject to the law. You're the source of the law. So then I go in and show them the court case and the Constitution, where all political power is inherent in the people. And I says, once you see these court cases, and I'll bring it up, and says, all lawful power is derived from the people. That means we're the source of the law. We're the source of government. And then I go and explain what government is. All government is just words on paper. They're just written on the Constitution, the legislature, executive, and judiciary. And the highest position in any government in America at any time, anywhere, any place, is just a mere officer of an office. They're all creatures of the law. And just like the Supreme Court has said several times, that all officers of the government, from the highest to the lowest, are creatures of the law and bound to obey it. And I cite, we got a court case up here, Gilbertson v. City of Fairbanks. It's actually a Ninth Circuit case, no negative treatment, citing the Supreme Court of the United States. And they say, or as simply stated,
Dave,
by Justice Brewer, the creature cannot rule the creator. I said, we're the creator.
Dave,
yeah.
Your volume is coming and going, and something is popping. I don't know if something's striking or hitting, but it's coming across on the...
Okay, it's not here, because I'm here all by myself. It's totally silent, and I've got the phone in my hand, so it's not clicking on anything. So I don't know what that is, and I can't hear it on this end, but... So are you unable to hear me, or?
It's just not quite consistent, and with that popping added to it, it's kind of a distraction. That's all. I just wanted to let you know, and if it's coming from somebody else that's got a live mic, then we need to get that shut down. Go ahead and keep talking, Dave. Just try to be as smooth as you can, please.
All right. Well, anyways, it's a global principle that the inferior can't rule the superior. The superior rules the inferior. The military gets it because they deal with it all the time. And I'll ask them, does the private rule the general? And they'll say, well, no. I said, well, how does it work? And that's what they agree to. The inferior does not rule the superior. The superior rules the inferior. Okay? And I said, does the subject rule the king? Does the creature rule the creator? Does the servant rule the master? Does the agent rule the principal? The way they word it is all jurisdiction implies superiority. And all this stuff comes out of the common law, and the Supreme Court of the United States has cited Blackstone as one of the preeminent authorities on the law, and that's what he talks about is the nature of law in general. Law is prescribed by a superior, which the inferior is bound to obey. And we're the supreme power. So I said, what they do is they use the word person. Sometimes they use whoever or individual in the statutes, at least up here that, you know, that they deal with us. And it's to deceive the people. And all that's in this system, everything's federal. I don't care what your state says. In practice, just a paper trick, everything is federal. Remember the one nation under God? All you got to do is pull up the government forms and applications, and kind of the pinnacle ones are the voters registration, because everybody's got to vote if they're going to vote, put somebody in, and if they're going to be put in, and the Social Security Act, et cetera, because most people have a Social Security number. It's for a citizen of the United States. It's for the the actual National Voters Registration Act by Congress. And it's all composed of citizen of the United States, and the only other status that's really there is an alien. And then you got artificial entities, and they use that word person. So I cite in there that they're construing us at this word person as a foreigner. And if you have a driver's license, that comes under the Trading with the Enemy Act. The president is actually putting out the licenses, but they're issued in the state. The only definition of the United States Code of what a state is a public corporation in a foreign trade zone. And that's the only definition in our code of what the state is. It's under Title 45, Trade and Commerce. Public corporation means the state of Alaska. So it's a paper trick through these government forms and application where they move outside the Constitution in their system of federalism, this one nation, getting everybody to falsely swear, not everybody, because some people are citizens of the United States, and get us to swear under penalties of perjury that we're a citizen of the United States, and you're just one more step away getting a license, because the license applies to this person. And then that's to get rid of our, so we don't have sovereign rights then, because we're going into court or whatever as this foreigner. And then with the licensing, artificial entity does not have unalienable rights, only men do. So I go in and just challenge all that, and then what they do up here is called a 43A, they do a dismissal. I just bring in what they write and how it works. It's real simple. There's only those two statuses, and the common law under their statutes up here is the rule of decision in the state, unless it's been modified, and I just show that's where it all comes from. So this is what's going on. I thought you guys were actually talking about foreclosures tonight.
We do have a caller with his hand up. Would you like to take a question at this point? Dave, are you still there?
Yeah, I said sure.
Okay, 707, you have open mic.
Yes, hi, this is Doug Millar, and wouldn't you know, the man that wanted to ask the question is in the other room here. Here he is, right, Peter Chernoff.
Hi there. I've been listening in there for quite a while, and I'd like to input a little bit with a couple of questions and an invitation. And I'm Peter Alexander, and thank you for taking my call. So the questions that I want to run by you is, as I've been listening to all this, is the first one is, who will comprehend the spiritual depth of where we actually stand? Who will do whatever it takes without violence to attain this promised land? Who will show you the man who is the one that bears the number 666, as in Revelation 13, Barack Hussein Obama, with a little bit of numerology, has that number come up 3 or 4 times. Who would disagree that to break one commandment of the 10 be to break them all, for that's how powerful they are? Who will seek answers in American churches, each and all of which are 501c3 nonprofits? So who goes to a nonprofit to learn of the Creator? Who will tell me that the Bible is the Word of God when it's been verified that there's been over 14,000 changes and rewrites from the first original Bibles to this point in time? And who will tell you that that murder always included animals from the time of Moses and explained by Jesus originally? Now, one gentleman made a statement regarding the national repentance to receive help from Almighty. So the big question is how? So the founding fathers knew the day would arrive far in the future when the people would rise up to activate, to manifest for real, not just on paper, the Bill of Rights and our U.S. Constitution in this republic, thereby claiming the promised land. Knowing that the Iroquois gifted us the Constitution, knowing Martin Luther King stated, if one man is wrongly incarcerated, imprisoned, so are we all. knowing that the Ten Commandments from the time of Moses have never been honored, knowing that even when Jesus broke it down to two laws, they also were never honored and followed. And unto Peter were given the keys, so to the law that places the world to its knees. And that law for this hour states that mammon shall know time standing still till two doors have opened. Now all true hearts are behind the second door, those that are willing to do whatever it takes to change from where we are unto the promised land. But most know not the nature of the chains on their feet, which is alcohol and animal flesh. And behind the first door is our brother Leonard Peltier, the Native American who's been in prison 36 years, the number one political, spiritual prisoner in the world, who represents the 500-year resistance of the indigenous peoples worldwide. And this thing called the Constitution, the spirit of the Constitution, is in the prison cell with him, knowing that the Iroquois gave us the Constitution unto the Founding Fathers. So now I say, if all true hearts put forth all their strength and love, beginning Memorial Day, and then for 39 more days, in the form of a general strike that shuts down labor in schools and the animal flesh industry, and so too the industry of oil, which is the earth's blood, we will have traveled the spiritual path by this 40-day strike into the promised land. It's a question of faith. It's a question of faith, and it's a question of love. And that's the input I gave you, and I tell you this is true.
Well, I thank you for your comment. I was hoping you would have a question that someone could specifically respond to. And Dave Bartels is our guest at the moment. We've got a little bit of a short time, so I need to get back to Dave and let him finish his comments. But
well,
thank you very much for coming on.
I didn't need to put forth a question. I just gave you the answer. And those whose hearts are true and open, I can only hope all and pray that they embrace this. And
Dave, are you still with us?
Dave, so I don't want to cut him short. And I think a lot of people over the whole globe from the beginning of time have suffered from this evil. And, you know, you always know the tree by its fruit. And what I was telling Dwayne, we're going to probably do a little radio show or recording on understanding Satanic, because those two great commandments in the Bible, which to me reveals the whole thing, that all the law hangs on love. Anything less than your most love to whoever, whatever you're dealing with, is that degree of Satanic. And it's crap. This so-called law, this code they're doing, is just Satanic filth. It has nothing to do with the law. It's all control. It's all deception to make everybody's lives miserable under the pretext of trying to protect the people. And, I mean, you got to give these guys one thing. They got their game down. It's too bad it's in the wrong direction. But that's the way I strictly view all of it, is I don't care what little good they do. I'm glad they do some good, and not everyone. It's not government. It's the temporary servants who fill government. This country could be so, get back on track so quick it'd make your head spin if we had the right leaders. But when they got all the ruling elite of the globe conspiring to turn it into the Satanic cesspool, there's not too much chance of that happening until there is intervention and people are had enough and, you know, humble themselves and pray and get out back on the right road and understand what they've been doing all these years. I mean,
well,
it's
Dave,
sad,
I totally agree with what you're saying. 603, we've got about 4 minutes left. 603 has a live mic. Gus, is that you? Gus, or area code 603, you have a live mic. Do you have a question for anyone here?
Sorry.
Dwayne,
yeah,
Dave,
I do.
Myself?
This is Gus. I had myself muted. I got a quick question. I was looking at the Seventh Amendment, and it stated that in all suits of common law, and it goes on to say things, and then at the end, it also mentions the rules of common law. And I was asking a state rep who happens to be an attorney today, where would I find these rules of common law, and where would I file a suit at common law? And, you know, which guarantees us a trial by jury and so on. And I was wondering if you had an answer to that. The Seventh Amendment and the common law mentioned in there twice. Where's the best place to get that kind of information?
Well, Red is not on here right now. I don't know if his line dropped or if he had something going on. Dwayne, is Jack and Margie still on with us? Is Dwayne still
on with us?
We're here.
We're listening today.
Did you hear?
Agree with a
Jack,
lot of what he's saying. Yes, I heard
Justice?
The question. The authority is the Constitution. Okay, the Constitution is a common law document, and suits in common law are based on the Constitution. Every suit I have ever filed for almost 58, 60 years is based in the authority of the Constitution of the United States of America, circa 1787, as amended in 1791. That's the only jurisdiction in which I will base anything I do, the Constitution of the United States of America.
Jack, the question, I agree with you. I would do nothing besides that. My question is that it talks about in the Seventh Amendment, towards the end, well, at the end, it says, except by the rules of common law. And what I'm trying to find out is where are those rules of common law found? Where do you get
the Constitution of the United States of America? Those are the rules.
So the rules of court for a common law court would be found in
the Constitution? Oh, no, I didn't say rules of court. I didn't say rules of court. I said
rules
of common law.
Are the
articles, okay, and the amendments of the Constitution of the United States of America. Remember, pursuant to Article 6 of the Constitution is the supreme law, okay, and also the common law. So any time I base a suit, or file a suit, I should say, I base the jurisdiction of that suit and the Constitution of the United States of America. That is the rule of common law.
Okay.
That's as I look at it. Others may have other opinions. Statute is not common law, okay? Private law is not common law. Case rulings are not common law, okay? If you're going to authority, the authority for common law is the Constitution.
And finding common law pleadings and what they are used for and the purpose of various pleadings, where would I go to find that?
The Constitution, again.
Okay.
The Constitution. We have the right to redress our grievances to government, okay? And pursuant to the Ninth Amendment, we have the right as American citizens to expect our government officers in all forms to abide by their oaths and the constitutional mandates contained therein in the performance of their official duties. This is why Margie and I went in court, okay? Because we base everything, and our people base everything we do in the Constitution. We don't use statutes. We don't use precedent.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid we are out of time. I had a 20-minute answer to that question, Gus, but I've got 15 seconds before the timer runs out here at BTR. So I'm going to have to say thank you to everyone and good night. And, Gus, let's talk about this again, and I'll be glad to get you on the phone with Red as well. But there's a little more to it, but I agree with what Jack has responded with. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Terry.
Good night, all.
Good
night. Hi, everybody.
Dear Lord, you be glorified today. For it is thou and thou alone, O Lord our God, who is worthy. How magnificent you are. O Lord, I worship and adore you. I praise you and thank you. I bow at your glorious feet. Your presence is divine, O Lord my God. How I love and adore you, O Lord. How I praise and thank you. Oh.